Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, honorable members.
Recording in progress.
Good morning, honorable minister.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson, and the rest of the members.
I'm greeting my minister. Who is that other person who's now when I'm greeting the minister? I'm teasing. Minister, we hope to be done by 9:30 for the latest. It's 8:00 quite soon. Can we just give some members an opportunity to join? There is a 054218. For the sake of the attendance registry, can you please just indicate who you are and could you please ensure that your gadget is properly identified and named? Good morning, Honorable De Blanche.
Good morning, Chairperson, and all the members, the minister and the police. Good morning.
Good morning, Honorable Marekwa. Was that you speaking?
Morning, Chairperson, and all members and the minister. Good morning.
You were speaking earlier.
Morning.
Yes, Chair, you greeted members, and by the time I wanted to talk, you moved on. Thanks.
You are my home girl. I must first greet you. Minister, do you know Honorable Marekwa and I are from Kimberley?
That's why there is trouble.
How can you say that, Honorable Minister?
Kimberley is a new troublesome area. I get all the calls from Kimberley of late.
No, Minister.
At least I'm sure they are reporting. That's why.
Indeed.
Honorable Minister, we don't give your number. That one who's giving your number is Mashale. Do you know that woman gave your number to everybody? I'm going to reprimand her.
Yeah, no, I just don't know how to do that. You know, for 4 days, I could not phone on the ear because it was literally hot. I could not put it on my ear. From 12 to the other 12 noon, I could not get the space of phoning anybody. And everybody will say, will come, leave a little bit of insult, and everybody will come and confirming that is me. And everybody come, I wish to see you, everybody, I wish to see you in hell, heaven. Hey. No, I don't know why that auntie to do that. But not only that, a private email.
Yes.
The people who are applying for jobs, they want to... Yeah, okay. It's okay.
All right, Minister, we have a quorum now. We know that you do have to do the announcement of the crime stats. Good morning, Honorable Whoop, Honorable Shaky Mum. I greeted Honorable Marekwa, Honorable Meshu. Good morning. Good morning. We have greeted the Minister. Is the Deputy Minister here? Honorable Groenewald, good morning. I saw that he has to attend a cabinet meeting or parliamentary meeting. Honorable members, we have received an indication that the minister will release the crime stats today. I'm not going to do a long introduction. We would like to allow the minister. Minister, I'm not sure. I haven't seen who exactly from the National Commissioner's office will be joining us. So you indicate who is here in your team. Honorable Minister, you are welcome. To save time, Honorable Minister, you may introduce your team and introduce who will do the presentation. Thank you, Minister.
Thanks, Chair. It's not always that the technology is kind to us. Good morning to yourself. Good morning to the rest of the members. I'm not going to waste time on that one, Chair. The National Commissioner is here. It will be handed over to him to give a person responsible, that I guess would be General Skukune, to take us through numbers which don't look to be good at this time, maybe working on that and the comparison going forward on the crime stats. Thanks, Chair, for giving us time. That it by 9:30 we can leave so that we do our final presentation to the media at the later on of the day. Thanks, Chair. I can hand over to General Masimula to take us through with his team. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Honourable members, we'll have the National Commissioner, General Masimula. You'll introduce the team that's going to talk, and then you may do your presentation immediately. Good morning, General. National Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning, Honourable President and General Members. Mr. Honourable Chair, is myself, I put the national agency the General Affairs.
My apologies, National Commissioner. Your sound is a little bit hollow and an echo. I think it's the gadget you guys are using. There's a bit of an echo with your sound.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Chair.
Continue. Please continue, NASCOM.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Chairperson. I was saying Captain General Livinia with me, as well as the Deputy National Commissioner of Police, Captain General Musiti. I have the Provincial Commissioners present, except Gauteng, who's on leave, and the Operational Commissioner Commissioners, the former detectives, and General Kuri will be taking us through the presentation on the project. I will hand over to General Kuri to give us the effect of what I'm through, which, yes, doesn't look quite well, but we need to report to society as a whole. Thank you very much, General Kuri.
You may start.
Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, your sound is a little bit better. You may start.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, the Minister of Police, members of the Portfolio Committee, Minister of Police, the National Commissioner and colleagues. I'll be taking you through the quarter two crime statistics covering the period from the 1st of July to September 2022. As is the norm, we normally start with this particular table where we show overall in terms of how we have, how the crime has been recorded. As one can see from this particular table, we are comparing a period whereby we were under level lockdown 4, 3, and 2, comparing it to a period whereby there were no lockdown restrictions. Then when you look at the picture that we normally present in table 1, we see that all the contact crimes have increased. The murder have increased by 841. Sexual offenses increased by 1,319, attempted murder increased by 998, assault GBH increased by 5,626, common assault increased by 7,252, common robbery increased by 2,405, and robbery with aggravating circumstances increased by 6,932. Overall, the broad category of contact crime increased by 25,373. Now, if one go into the breakdown of the sexual offenses that are made up of rape, sexual assault, attempted sexual offenses, contact sexual offenses, we see that the rapes have increased by 1,034. That is, in the previous comparative quarter, we had 9,556 rapes. In the current quarter, we have 10,590. Then going down to the subcategories of robbery with aggravating circumstances, which we have already indicated here. Let me just pick a laser pointer where we have just indicated here. We break down it here. We have carjacking increased by 1,176. Robbery at residential premises increased by 453. Robbery at non-residential premises, 427. Robbery of cash in transit, we have four counts more. That is from 52 to 56. Bank robberies, we had two counts more from 1 to 3. Truck hijacking, we had 151 increase. That is from 410. To 561. Then when we take into consideration the mid-year population estimates and then apply these mid-year population estimates on the contact crimes using the 2021 mid-year population series, for the current quarter, we have murders having increased from 10 per 100,000 to 12 per 100,000. Rapes, it's 17 per 100,000. Attempted murder is 10 per 100,000. Assault GBH is 68 per 100,000, common assault is 73 per 100,000, and common robbery is 20 per 100,000. Then using the mid-year population estimates specifically for the crime of murder and looking at the provincial comparison, we see that the Eastern Cape is the province with the highest per capita murder of 19.7 per 100,000. Followed by KwaZulu-Natal with 16 per 100,000, Western Cape 14.5 per 100,000 at number 3, Gauteng at number 4 with 9.8 per 100,000, Free State at number 5 with 7.9, together with Northern Cape, they both share 7.9 per 100,000, then Mpumalanga is 7 per 100,000, Northwest 6.3 per 100,000, and Limpopo has the lowest per capita murder of 4.5 per 100,000. Then completing the table, which give us a summary at a glance, looking at the contact-related crimes, we have a decrease of 227 in arson, and then an increase of malicious damage to property of 1,633, and the contact-related crimes overall increased by 1,406. That is from 28,988 to 30,394. Then property-related crimes, we have a decrease in terms of a burglary at non-residential premises of 3,180. That is, in the previous quarter, we had 18,777 to the current quarter of 15,596, resulting in a percentage decrease of 16.9. Burglary at residential premises increased by 4,601. Theft of motor vehicle and motorcycle increased by 1,216. Theft out of or motor vehicle increased by 3,325. Stock theft increased by 679. And the broad category of property-related crimes increased by 6,641, resulting in a percentage increase of 7.4. Then looking at the total other serious crimes, the increase there was 18,571 from 94,810 to 113,381, a 19.6% increase. Then the 17 community reported crimes increased by 51,991, whereby in the previous quarter we had 350,519. Currently we have 402,510. Then the crime detected as a result of police action, whereby the desired direction of change is an increase. We have increased across all the four categories of crime, making up crimes detected as a result of police action. with illegal possession of firearms and ammunition increasing by 692, drug-related crimes increased by 8,732, driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs, 3,112, sexual offenses detected as a result of police action increased by 632, and total crime detected as a result of police action increased by 13,168, a 30.8% increase. Then looking at the monthly breakdown in terms of the 17 community reported crimes, and this picture is almost repeated across all the crimes, whereby we had the highest number of increases in the month of July. Similarly, for other crimes, we also had in the high increases in the month of July. For 17 community reported crimes, we had increases across the month of July, August, and September, with 28,565 increase in July, 12,596 increase in August, and then 10,830 increase in September for the 17 community reported crimes. And all the provinces have recorded increases with regard to the 17 community reported crimes. Then 17 community reported crimes, using the volume to sort out the station, I'll go to only the top five. The top five are made up of Cape Town Central, an increase of 1,273. Second is Honeydew in Gauteng, an increase of 613. Devon Central in KwaZulu-Natal, an increase of 260. At number four, we have Johannesburg Central, an increase of 286. And number five, we have Mitchells Plain in the Western Cape, an increase of 307. So we have only two stations in the top 30 that have recorded decreases, and those two stations are both in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, with Phoenix at number 13 and Pinetown at number 15, both recording a decrease of 0.7 and 9.0% decrease. Then going into the breakdown of the contact crimes, again, the picture repeats itself in the month of July, where we had an increase of 17,339. In August, we had an increase of 4,054. In September, an increase of 3,980. And again, all the provinces recorded increases with regard to the contact crimes. Then the top stations, I'll only go to the top five once again. We have Nyanga at number one with an increase of 154. They have recorded 1,077 contact crimes. Number two, we have Johannesburg Central with an increase of 174. They have recorded 1,043. Mfuleni in the Western Cape at number three with 963 counts, an increase of 192. Temba in Gauteng with 955, an increase of 190. And number five, Devon Central with 927, an increase of 344 counts. Then looking at the selected causative factors specifically for murder, attempted murder and assault GBH, but for the purpose of this presentation, I'll only focus on the causative factors for the murder. We drawn a sample of 6,342. That is the sample from which we made this study. From 7,004 murders that had been reported, we managed to draw a sample of 6,342. And from that particular sample, when we looked at the causative factors of the murders, we found that the argument and misunderstanding was indicated as the highest causative factor of the murder, with 956 murders having resulted from such causative factors. Second was mob justice or vigilantism with 528. Number three was robbery with 362. Retaliation or revenge, 348. Gang-related murders, 202, of which the bulk of these gang-related murders happened in the province of the Western Cape. 77 were attributed to during the commission of other crime, not robbery or rape. 69 of the murders were as a result of hijackings and attempts. 64 were taxi-related. 24 were murders of law enforcement and security guards in the line of duty. excluding police matters. 23 was intervention in an argument, rape related was 21, and then 17 of the matters were as a result of illicit mining. Then when we look at the places of occurrence, again from the same sample of 6,342, we found that most of the murders happened in a public place, either a street, open field, recreation center, park, beach, parking, and these were attributed to 3,039 murders. Then 1,645 of the murders happened at the residence of the perpetrator, including residents known by victims, perpetrator, family, and friends and neighbors. 320 of the murders happened in a taxi, a bus, or a car. 267 of the murders happened at liquor outlets. 96 happened at the tuck shop or spaza. 93 at the small holding business premises, 71, public transport, 68. 46 in a sea or river. Then we had 19 murders having happened at educational institutions. Dumping site is 18, and then the rest one can see from the particular slide. Then looking at the selected contact crimes against women and children, in the current quarter, we had 989 murders where women were the victim. That is an increase of 92, where in the previous quarter we had 897. Currently we have 989, an increase of 10.3. Attempted murders for women, we had 1,277 from 1,155, an increase of 122. Assault GBH were 13,701 from 11,824, an increase of 1,877. For the murders of children, that is both boys and girls, from the ages of 0 to 17 year old, we had 315 murders of children, an increase of 28, a percentage change of 9.8. Attempted murders, we had 294, an increase of 11, and assault GBH, we had 1,895, an increase of 225. Then when looking at the murder over the 3 months period, again, the month of July was the month whereby the highest increases was recorded. For murder, this increase was 659. For August was 72. And for September was an increase of 110 in terms of the murder. And the only province that had recorded a decrease in terms of the murder was the province of Free State, with 20 bodies less when compared to the previous period. Overall, we had an increase of murder of 13.6%, or 841 bodies more when compared to the previous comparable period. Then the top stations in terms of murder, we had the first two stations for murder, both in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, that is Inanda and Umlazi, which have recorded 99 and 95 murders respectively. At number 3 and 4, we had stations in the Western Cape, that is Nyanga and Delft, which had reported 80 and 69 murders respectively. Then at number 5, we have Plessis Lyer again in KwaZulu-Natal, making up the top 5 murder stations. Then looking at the provincial breakdown of the causative factors, which we have already touched on, we see that the province of the KwaZulu-Natal, again from the same sample of 6,342, was the one which had the most number of murders attributable to arguments, misunderstanding, and provocation, whereby they indicated that 298 of these murders were attributable to such causative factors. And then at number 2 was the Western Cape, with 176 of the murders attributable to arguments. Gauteng was number 3 with 141 murders, and then Eastern Cape with 127 of the murders attributable to arguments. Then in terms of gang-related murders, which is number 5 from the top, we had 202 murders attributable to gang-related, of which the highest was attributable to the Western Cape, with 175 of the murders having or attributed to gang-related. Then number two was Gauteng Province with 15, and the Eastern Cape with number three at nine. Rape-related murders were 21, and then we had six of these rape-related murders having occurred in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Then the second highest was Gauteng Province with five of the murders having been attributable to rape-related. And then the province of Limpopo and the Eastern Cape are both sharing number three spot, with three of the murders having been attributable to rape-related. And then illicit mining-related murders, we had 17, and then 13 of these murders were in the province of Gauteng, and four was in the province of Limpopo. Then we also looked at the incidents which has resulted in multiple murders. This table on the top, it indicates the count of victims in one incident, and then going down, it indicates the province that had been reported. So in this instance, if one look at two, we had two bodies that had been reported in 26 incidents in the Western Cape. So starting at the far right, we had an incident whereby 17 people were killed in one incident that was reported in the province of Gauteng. Then we had an incident whereby seven people were killed in one incident, one in the Free State, and two in KwaZulu-Natal, both in Plessis Lyre. Then four counts, we had two in Gauteng, three in KwaZulu-Natal, one in Northwest. So in total, we had 578 victims having emanated from 250 dockets. Then elaborating further on those incidents, the 17 murders that occurred in one incident was the mass shooting that happened at the Mujalosa Tavern, whereby initially it was 16 people that were killed. Then subsequent to that, one other person succumbed to his injuries, and we subsequently updated the information to reflect that that mass shooting in total resulted in 17 people having succumbed to their injuries. Then we had two incidents in Marian Hill whereby seven people were killed. These are both in KwaZulu-Natal. When the seven were killed in a house and the other seven were killed in a spaza shop, six in the first incident died on the scene, and then the other one died in hospital. We also had an incident whereby in Gestel, whereby seven people were murdered, and five of these people were farm workers, including the wife of the farmer and the stepchild of the farmer, having resulted in seven victims killed in one incident. Then when we looked at the weapon of choice in the commission of these murders, we found that firearms were most frequently used weapon, whereby it was indicated that 208 bodies was as a result of firearms. The second highest weapon of choice was knives with 930. Then murders of police officials. In the current quarter, we had 22 police officials that were killed. That is a reduction of two when compared to the previous quarter, whereby in the previous quarter, we had 24 police officials that were killed. Of these 22, four of the police officials were killed while they were on duty, and 18 were killed while they were off duty. The province with the highest number of off-duty police officers killed was Gauteng with seven, and the Western Cape with four, then KwaZulu-Natal with three. And then for those that were killed on duty, it is spread across the four provinces with one each in the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Western Cape. Then murders of farming community, we had 16 victims that were murdered in 10 incidents. In total, we have had 16 victims that were murdered when compared to 15 that were murdered in the previous comparable quarter, resulting in one more when compared to the previous quarter. The provinces of Free State recorded an increase of one in terms of murder of farming community, then Limpopo an increase of two, Northern Cape and the Western Cape each an increase of one. These murders happened jointly with six were during a robbery at residential premises, one a robbery at business premises, one was also with an assault with intent to commit grievous bodily harm, and two happened together with the theft of a motor vehicle or motorcycle. Then rapes, again, the month of July recorded the highest increase of 1,086. Then the month of August and September recorded decreases of 12 and 40 respectively. Then the only province that had recorded a decrease in terms of the rape was the province of Mpumalanga, with 23 counts less when compared to the previous period. And overall, we had 1,034 more rapes when compared to the previous period, from 9,556 to 10,590. Then the top five stations, the leading station was Inanda, followed by Mthatha. Number three was Delft. Number four, Lusikisiki. And number five, Thohoyandou, making up the top 30 stations in terms of the rapes when you look at the volumes of charges that were reported in the particular province. Then when we look at the places of occurrence, from the sample of 8,227, it was indicated that 5,083 of the rapes happened at the residence of the perpetrator or the victim, including residents known by victim, perpetrator, family, friends, and neighbors. Then the province of KwaZulu-Natal was the highest, which attributed the rapes to such places with 1,128. The second highest was the Western Cape with 1,022. The third highest was the province of Gauteng with 774 of the rapes attributable to have taken place at the residence of the perpetrator. 1,651 rapes happened in public places, street, open field, recreational or parking area, whereby Gauteng was the province which indicated that 300 of the rapes have happened at public places. The second highest was the Eastern, was the KZN with 281. Then third highest was 264. We also had rapes that had happened at educational institutions, whereby 83 of these rapes have happened at educational institutions, whereby 19 of these rapes that happened at educational institution happened in the province of KwaZulu-Natal and 17 in the province of Gauteng. We also had rapes that had been indicated to have taken place in abandoned buildings. Then we have 69 of these rapes having happened in abandoned buildings, whereby 15 of these rapes happened in the province of Gauteng, 17 in the province of the Eastern Cape, and then the Western Cape had 10 of the rapes having been taken place at abandoned buildings. Liquor outlets where the rapes occurred, we have 65. Of these 65, 18 happened in the province of the Eastern Cape, then 11 in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, and 10 in the province of Limpopo. Then we looked at the contact crimes whereby it was indicated that the liquor or drugs were used either during or before the crime was committed. We had 281 murders where it was indicated that the alcohol was used, and 21 of the murders whereby drugs were indicated to have been used. 1,520 rapes, it was indicated that alcohol was used, and 154 of the rapes, it was indicated that drugs were used. Then assault GBH, it was indicated that alcohol was used in 4,326 of this assault GBH, and 162 whereby drugs were used during the commission of assault GBH. Of incidents that have happened at a confirmed place where alcohol is being sold, we had 267 murders where it was confirmed that they happened at a tavern, Shebeen, pub, bar, nightclub, etc. And 275 attempted murders having happened at these particular facilities. 65 of the rapes having taken place at taverns, shebeens, and clubs, and then assault GBH 3,100. Then again, when you look into the weapon of choice that were used in terms of the commission of crimes at the liquor outlets, again, the firearm was the most weapon used, whereby it was used in 133 of the murders, followed by knives with 65. Then looking at the murders and rape that had happened at educational premises, we had 19 murders having happened at schools. One thing that I need to clarify with regard to these murders that have happened at schools is the fact that we look at the school as the scene of the crime. It does not necessarily imply that the victim, all the victims or all the perpetrators were school-going children or vice versa. So in some instances, it might be that a person is dragged from the street into the schoolyard and then is murdered. Similarly, with the rapes, it does not necessarily imply that all these rapes were school-going children that had been raped. In some instances, when you look at the age of the victim, you find that it is maybe a 55-year-old woman and the crime happened on a Saturday or Sunday, etc. So it clearly indicates that it does not imply that when we say that 67 of these rapes happened at school, we imply that all the victims or the perpetrators were students. Then we had six of the rapes having happened at the daycare, five at the special school, then five at the tertiary institutions. Then looking at the proxy for GBV, where we use domestic violence as a proxy, we had 239 of the murders having been attributable to domestic violence. Of course, one when explains the domestic violence, it indicates whereby it was indicated that there was some kind of a domestic relationship between the perpetrator and the victim, either as an uncle, ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, uncle, brother, etc. That is what is being referred to in the domestic relationship. We had 239 of the murders attributable to people who had some kind of a domestic relationship. Of these victims, 130 were female and 109 were male. We also had 835 rapes that were as a result of a domestic violence, whereby 793 of the victims were female and 42 were male. We also had assault GBH, which were attributable to domestic violence, whereby 6,662 of these, whereby 4,698 of the victims were female and 1,964 of the victims were male. Then looking at the subcategories of robbery with aggravating circumstances, we had the trio crimes. Trio crimes is the sum total of robbery rest, robbery non-residential, and carjacking brought together and added to form the category of trio crimes. Again, in the month of July, we had the highest increase of 1,417. In August, we had an increase of 569. In September, we had an increase of 70, and all the provinces recorded increases for the trio crimes. Then the top five stations for trio crimes, they are led by Nyanga in the Western Cape, Plessis Lyre at number 2, in KwaZulu-Natal, Tembisa at number 3, in Gauteng, Harare at number 4 in the Western Cape, Oliver and Old Bosch at number 5, making up the top 5 true crime stations. And of these 5 stations, 2 have recorded decreases, that is Tembisa and Harare, decreases of 6 and 28 respectively, resulting in a percentage change of 10.6 and 17.4 respectively. Then carjacking, which is one of the crimes that make up the trio crimes. Again, in the month of July, we had an increase of 756. In August, we had an increase of 349. In September, an increase of 71. And the provinces that have recorded decreases with regard to carjacking was the province of Limpopo with 21 decrease, and the Free State with a decrease of 3. Then the top stations, the top 3 in terms of the carjacking were all in the Western Cape, led by Nyanga, Harare, and Philippi East, and the 2 bottom stations making up the top 5 was in the province of Gauteng, that is Pretoria West and Oliver and Old Bosch. And of these 5, only Harare, which is at number 2, recorded a decrease in terms of carjacking of 6 counts less. Then robbery at the residential premises, again, the month of July, we had an increase of 300. In August, an increase of 104. In September, an increase of 49. And provinces that have recorded decreases in terms of robbery at residential premises are the province of the Western Cape with 83, followed by the Free State, a decrease of 27, and the Northern Cape, a decrease of 3. Then robbery at the residential premises, top stations. The top 3 stations are all in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, led by Plessis Lyre at number 1, KwaGuza at number 2, although they have recorded a decrease of 25, Umlazi at number 3, an increase of 19. Then number 4, we have Tembisa, a decrease of 9 at number 4. And then Empangeni, an increase of 14, making up the top 5 stations in terms of robbery at the residential premises. Then robbery at non-residential premises, again, the month of July, we had the highest increase of 361. In August, we had an increase of 116. In September, we had a decrease of 50. The province that had recorded a decrease in terms of the robbery at non-residential premises was the province of the Eastern Cape, with 11 counts less when compared to a similar period. Then top 5 stations in terms of robbery at non-residential premises, number 1 is Johannesburg Central, 2 Toyando, 3 East London, 4 Pietermaritzburg, and number 5 Durban Central, making up the top 5. Then robbery of cash in transit, we had a decrease in the month of July, that is one count less. Then in August, we had an 11 count increase. Then in September, 6 count decrease. Overall, we had an increase of 4 cash in transit more than the previous quarter, whereby in the previous quarter, we had 52 incidents. In the current quarter, we had 56 incidents. Then the types of CITs, we had incidents whereby the blue indicates when the armored vehicle was on the road, and the green indicates where there was a cross pavement. We had 8 incidents in the Eastern Cape where the armored vehicle was robbed while it was on the road, and 2 while it was a cross pavement. In Free State, we only had 3 cross pavements robberies. In Gauteng, we had 7 incidents where the armored vehicle was on the road, and 8 cross pavements, and 1 at the retail merchant. Then in Mpumalanga, we had 4 when the armored vehicle was on the road, 2 cross pavements, and we had 3 in the Western Cape of cross pavements and no armored vehicle on the road and the retail merchant retail. Then in terms of truck hijacking, we had increases across the month of July, August, and September of 54, 66, and 31 respectively. And the only province that had recorded a decrease in terms of the truck hijacking was the province of Free State with 7 counts less. Then the top stations in terms of crack hijacking was Delmas in Mpumalanga, and then from number 2 up to number 12, all the stations are in the province of Gauteng. Then kidnapping, we had increases across all the months of July, August and September of 801, 661, 566 for the 3 months of the current quarter. And all the provinces recorded increases with respect to the particular crime of kidnapping. Then the top stations, top three are from the province of Gauteng with Vosloorus, Johannesburg Central and Tembisa, all in Gauteng. Number 4, Delmas in Mpumalanga, then number 5 in Midrand, making up the top 5. Then from a sample of cases that we had managed to draw a sample from, we had 3,648 sample size, whereby we could establish that the causative factors for these particular kidnappings were mostly attributable to hijacking related, whereby 1,408 were attributable to hijacking related, and the province with the highest hijacking related kidnappings was the province of Gauteng with 1,048. The second highest was Mpumalanga, was KZN with 153, then Mpumalanga with 88. Robbery-related kidnappings, we had 639, of which 289 were attributable to Gauteng province. Second was KZN with 142. Rape-related kidnappings, we had 331, whereby 122 were attributable to the province of KwaZulu-Natal and 92 to the province of Gauteng. We also had 235 taxi-related kidnappings, whereby 155 were attributable to the province of Gauteng and 62 in KwaZulu-Natal. Domestic-related kidnappings, we had 125, of which 36 of these domestic-related kidnappings we were in the province of Gauteng and 34 in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. We also had extortion-related kidnappings, whereby from that particular sample of 3,648, 31 were attributable to extortion, and most of these were in the province of Gauteng, with 19 attributable to the crime of extortion. And then the second highest was the Western Cape with 6. Then property-related crime, that is the sum total of the burglary rest, burglary non-rest, theft out of motor vehicle, theft from motor vehicle and stock theft.
My apologies. Minister, your team is really giving a detailed presentation. We sent it to members. I saw they're nearly close to done. But remember, the members still want to interact with the presentation. My apologies, National Commissioner. You may continue.
All right. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Then these are the increases that we have recorded in the month of July, August and September for property-related crimes. Then these are the stations for property-related crimes. Number 1 was Cape Town Central, 2 Rustenburg, 3 Honeydew, 4 Park Road, 5 Stellenbosch, making up the top 5 property-related crimes. Then in terms of stock theft, we had increases across the month of July, August and September, 236 in July, 385 in August and 58 in September, and all the provinces recorded increases across the crime of stock theft. Then the top stations were in the Eastern Cape, Kumbu, Kulu at number 1 and number 2, Utrecht at number 3, Sulenkama and Mthatha again in the Eastern Cape, making up the top 5. Then we also had a court diversion, whereby these are unrests or public protests, whereby they were classified as either unrest or peaceful. And the most of these unrest happened in the province of Gauteng, with 44 of these public protests that were classified as peaceful in KwaZulu-Natal with 390. This slide is brought in to show that these are some of the diversions that take away the resources of the police to be able to monitor and control the crimes, but they are now taken to monitor these public protests, and some of them end up being unrest resulting in violence. Honorable Chair, the next slide is the provincial breakdown of the respective provinces. I'm not sure whether the Honorable Chair would prefer that I stop the presentation here, or maybe I take each province, but only show the contact-related crimes. I'm subject to your direction, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much for that presentation. I'm going to request that members do present the questions, comments, and additions. But before we do that, Honorable Minister, you will have an opportunity now.
Chairperson, you have given us until 9:30. I think we can squeeze maybe 15 to 30 minutes extra as members wish to interact, so that we don't spend much time on that. We will let the interaction, but there are some few things, Chairperson. One thing that we have noticed, we've got two bad months in a year, either it would be on calendar or the year of financial, that is July and January. I think we've analyzed January very well, as you would look at the previous presentation that included January on the last quarter. I think we have had some answers on January. July was still on its analysis. We're finding how we respond on the July. That's one, Chair. Secondly, Chair, the visibility has become a big issue in terms of policing. As we all know, the numbers of the police in the Republic of South Africa, especially the warm bodies, which we believe whatever happens, as it will happen come December, releasing those numbers will have to give us a little bit extra extra impetus and extra enhanced power or energy of dealing with those matters. Thirdly, the question of women and children is worrying, Chairperson. But what is more worrying on that level, especially rape, including murders, Chair, it's an unpoliceable way of these things that are happening. I'm sure you did see on the rapes that almost more than 50% now, absolutely more than 50% of rapes happen in the houses of the people that are supposed to be safe in those particular houses. That also includes the murder, Chair, including the murder of women, including the murder of children. Though we're not defined all of them individually, but we surely have seen the increase of the children that die in the hands of their parents, including what has happened as we attended the Eastern Cape yesterday and 2 days ago on both the murder of the 7 people, which is involvement of relatives, but also 4 children that were buried there, which was not for the first time now that these murders by mothers or the relatives, close relatives of those children are increasing. Those are the comments, Chairperson, that what want to make without taking much time. And then we send it back to you to lead us on terms of interaction. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and some other members have also joined us. Good morning and welcome. Honorable Minister and National Minister and the National Commissioner. The overall increase, I think it's about 14.8% in your presentation in reported crime is a serious concern. More so the significant increases recorded in all subcategories of contact crime and aggravated robbery. As you said, the only categories that decreased are arson and burglary at non-residential premises. It is very clear that liquor is having a direct and large impact on rape and assault GBH. The escalation of an altercation from common assault to serious assault to attempted murder and ultimately to murder must be examined. I think we need to determine where the escalation of violence at assault can be stopped before it becomes murder. That is not always possible for the police, but it is a concern. As you said in your presentation, the leading causative factor in murder and attempted murder and assault remains arguments and misunderstandings. The concern I have is that the second leading causative factor for murder is vigilantism or mob justice. Again, the leading place for murder and attempted murder remains in public places, whereas GBH remains in the residence of the perpetrator or the victim. Again, we have to look at the firearms and how firearms are used mostly often to commit murder. Knives, you mentioned knives. Before I do allow other members to speak, we cannot accept that despite the significant resources we are dedicating towards protecting women and children, the picture has become increasingly bleak. Sexual offences are increasing. Between July and September 2022, 13,283, if that is your correct number that I noted, sexual offences were reported, of which 10,590 were rapes. So in 90 days, close to 11,000 rapes were committed, which this time now indicates that 120 rapes happened every day over this period. Violence towards women show a significant increase in the second quarter as it did in the first quarter. So from the first quarter to the second quarter, we now have a 10.3% increase in murder, 10.6% increase in attempted murder, 15.9% increase in assault GBH. We have consistently spoken about our society, the social, psychological and economic challenges which we have in our country. But in between July and September alone, almost 32,000 cases of domestic violence were reported, of which almost half were common assault. We are going into the 16 days of activism against violence of women and children. But there's a 9.8% increase in the murder of children. This is deeply concerning. In 90 days, just in 90 days, 3 months, 315 children were murdered in South Africa. 90 days, 3 months, it means 100 children on average would be murdered every day 100 children would be murdered per month. 100 children murdered per month in our country. Thank you very much for clarifying the rapes, the figures of rapes at educational premises. It is very clear that our society must change. We have to change our perception in addressing interpersonal violence. When now everything is becomes the responsibility of SAPS. The vast majority of violent crimes are committed as a result of misunderstandings and arguments inside private residences. It is clear that police or SAPS is not the only answer, as our minister has repeatedly said. Other more difficult questions need to be asked of ourselves. These questions must be researched if we are ever to live in a less violent society. I'm going to make more comments later. Minister, I got the figure of 4,000, more than 4,000 cases of kidnapping were reported between July and September, which is an increase of over 100%. So the majority of kidnappings are hijacking, robbery and rape related. We'll go to the provincial statistics. But Minister, the Northern Cape, you know, we are from the Northern Cape. I'm from the Northern Cape. Had an increase of 21.1% crime. Is this because previously the numbers were low? And because I know that if one murder happens in the Northern Cape, it's an increase of 100%. I don't want you to respond directly, Minister. We'll give you an opportunity to respond later. I'll note the hands of the members and take the hands of the members before we continue. Honorable Groenewald, I've noted your hand. I'm taking more hands. Honorable members, Whitfield, Meshu, Ter Blanche, Sheikh Imam. In that order, you may start, Honorable Groenewald. Then Whitfield, Meshu, Ter Blanche, Sheikh Imam, and then Siabi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, the Honorable Members. Morning, everybody. Chairperson, I want to start by saying that I question the correctness of the crime statistics given to us. And I will also say why I say that. I don't see this as a true reflection of the crime situation in South Africa. Firstly, Chairperson, we saw earlier in this year on the report of the Auditor General pointing out specifics that there's a discrepancy between the statistics, certain crime statistics given by the police and what has been produced from different police stations. So even the Auditor General questioned the correctness of it. Now, Chairperson, firstly, I also want to say that if you look, for instance, at farm murders, then it says that there were actually 16 cases of farm murders. And I use this example, and that's also my question, to say that I question the correctness of the statistics. For instance, that on slide number 19, it says there were 7 people murdered at the farm during a house robbery in KZN. 7. But though, if you look at the murders of farming community on slide 22, it says in KZN, there was only one murder for 22-23. So it's quite clear that the seven murders that's been stated here is not included in the four murders. So, Chairperson, I would like to have an explanation on that. Furthermore, Chairperson, on the four murders, I've asked previously that we also get the statistics on the farm attacks, the number of farm attacks. It was agreed that it will be given, but it is not given. So I don't know how many times we're going to have meetings where undertakings has been given, but then it just not materialized. Another reason, Chairperson, why I say that I question the crime statistics, and I want to put it very clear. I know we are aware of the fact that Statistics South Africa are looking at the figures and everything, but that's not the problem. The problem comes in where people and victims go to police stations reporting crimes, and many crimes are not even registered. People don't even get a case number. That is the one thing. The other thing is that I think there's a huge problem between the reporting from the station level to, say, the province or national. It's not a correct reflection. A month or what ago, I asked the Minister for Police in Parliament on the number of robberies at police stations. Well, firstly, what was disturbing that the minister couldn't give me the answer immediately, and they've asked for an extension. Then after the extension, we got some figures. But then the official answer from the minister is that in the year 21-22, the financial year, there were no robberies at any police station. But it was in the newspapers that at hot as hell, the police station was robbed. Now, these are practical, obvious, can I say, examples of incorrect crime statistics given officially from the minister. I've asked a follow-up question, but I didn't get the answer. How is it that it is in the media that the hot as hell police station was robbed, but the official answer of the minister says that there were no robberies in that annual year? Chairperson, what is also quite disturbing, and I'm not going to repeat what you said, I agree with what you've said. If we look at the murder cases, we see that 7,004 murders occurred in this second term or second quarter. Now, if you add that up with the first quarter of this financial year, 22-23, we see that we already had for this period 13,428 murders. So we are halfway, Chairperson. If you look at the annual statistics, since 2011, there was a constant increase of murders in South Africa. And I say from 2011, that was after the World Cup in 2010. Except in 2020-2021, and that was because of the lockdown. Now, Chairperson, we are halfway through this annual year, and the figure for murders are already 13,428. So there's a good chance that it will be more than 26,000 by the end of this financial year. And Chairperson, I want to know, and that's my second question. My first one was on the farm murders. My second question, Chairperson, what is the police services and the minister envisage to ensure that we deal with this crisis? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Groenewald, Honorable Whitfield, and then Meshu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, Honorable Groenewald has touched on a number of inconsistencies
which are verifiable both from the Auditor General and anecdotal evidence that is in the public domain, I think that most South Africans would say that this is not an accurate reflection of the crime situation, based purely on the fact that most South Africans know that crime is underreported. Nonetheless, these are the statistics to which we must refer. And as you've indicated, Chairperson, it is very clear that the South African government and all of its relevant departments, not just the police, but all of its relevant departments, are failing to contain the social dysfunctionality, which is one of the root causes of crime, and the police themselves are becoming overwhelmed by criminals who are brazenly attacking police stations, killing police officers, and operating with impunity. Now, how does this environment occur? This environment occurs, Chairperson, because we don't get accurate figures, we don't have a trust relationship, where we don't trust the information provided to us from the minister, and a case in point is the DNA backlog. Chairperson, I can tell you with tremendous confidence that the DNA backlog, including all samples awaiting analysis, not just those that are registered as part of the backlog, but all of those case exhibits and samples that are part of the case exhibits awaiting analysis. If you combine the backlog figures that we've been given by the minister with those numbers, it's much closer to 200,000. Now, I cannot understand why in parliamentary questions and in committee meetings, we can't just be given a holistic view, an honest view of the situation, because I believe that that must be our starting point. I also believe, Chairperson, that this committee has a duty to hold the Minister and the National Police Commissioner accountable for the implementation of recommendations from panel of experts. We have a number of recommendations, including from the White Paper on Policing in 2016, which have not been implemented. They simply ignored or delayed. We have no indication how the Minister is turning SAPS around together with the National Police Commissioner in order to transform policing in South Africa to a genuinely evidence-based policing model where we can analyze the statistics to such an extent that we can deploy the correct resources and strategies to deal with crime on a location-by-location basis. And we see the same police stations, Chairperson, in our rural communities. We see the same police stations like Plessislaar, Inyanga. We see police stations like Lusikisiki in the Eastern Cape and Mthatha, where violent crime is simply not being dealt with. And I think that we need to have a very serious look at the capabilities of SAPS to conduct its evidence-based policing based on its analysis, understand the patterns of crime in these local communities, and ask why those strategies that are supposedly being deployed are not being deployed. The failure of the rural policing strategy, which was launched to tremendous fanfare almost 2 years ago, Chair, in fact, 2 years ago, is simply a tick box exercise. We cannot continue to have tick box exercises. We know the crime situation in South Africa is far worse than the crime statistics reveal, but we need to start demanding actual, tangible deliverables from the police that are going to turn the situation around. We do not have any real meaningful improvement on a holistic basis that says that the police service in South Africa is transforming itself into a world-class, honest, professional, and evidence-based policing service. And I think that we need to take very serious note of the fact that government is failing to arrest violent crime in South Africa, that we will not halve violent crime as the president committed to in his SONA if the situation continues. And I'd like us to really dive into these crime statistics as a committee, Chairperson, and get some really compelling research done ourselves as to the patterns of crime and why they're occurring, as the minister touched on in certain months, such as January and July, and for us to actually conduct oversight at these policing areas, which are constantly appearing in our crime statistics. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield. Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to all members, colleagues, and the police. The picture, obviously, that has been painted today is depressing and worrying. One asks the question whether we will ever live in a society where criminals are not in control in some streets, because everything is increasing. Serious crimes are increasing. Should we conclude that the police are failing? Should we conclude that we'll forever live with these criminals causing havoc in our communities? Or what can the minister in particular tell us why we should not lose hope? Why shouldn't people of South Africa lose hope? What is going to be done that has not been done that is causing crimes to go up? When one looks at numbers for murders, we saw that about 320 murders took place in the mode of transport. I need clarity on this one. In the mode of transport, does are the people murdered in public in the transport, or does it also have to do with the kidnappings that we are told are increasing? There are people who unfortunately have been kidnapped when they were stopped by criminals in police uniform. Nothing is being said about the impact and the crimes that have taken place because of criminals that were in police uniform. There are criminals who go into residential areas in police uniform. And when a police stands at the door or a person stands at the door in police uniform, how can residents or owners or children or the family that sees a policeman at the door or at the gate in uniform say, no, I can't open the door for you? What can be done to safeguard our communities? Because people are being kidnapped, people are being robbed in their homes by people wearing police uniforms. When a person drives on the road and the police tell them to stop, or a person in police uniform tell them to stop, what advice would the police give us? What should an individual do when they are stopped by a car, it has a blue light, and the person driving it has what looks like a police uniform? Would it be, obviously, it would be criminal for a person not to stop. Some of them, unfortunately, would even be shot at. But how can an individual or a family in a car be assured that the person stopping us is genuinely a police officer? Because if they are not sure and they are not stopping when they are told to stop, then anything can happen to them. So the issue of misuse of police uniforms by the criminals, how can we be assisted when it comes to that one? The murder of children. It's heartbreaking that South Africa is also unsafe for children. I want to know whether when children who have been murdered are looked at and the matters are investigated, how many of such cases are Moody related? Because many of the children that have been found, we were told that did not have some parts of the body. Of these 319 estimate of children that have been murdered, how many were, or how many their murders were related to Muti, the use of Muti and the harvesting of their body parts? Now, when it comes to issue of rape, we saw a slide where alcohol had a role to play. Some women were raped because the rapist was under the influence of liquor. What I would want to know now is whether, particularly because most of these rapes happen at residences, what happened behind closed doors? Has that anything to do, or is pornography also playing a role? We know that liquor plays a role. So I want to know whether particularly those that happen in residences, behind closed doors, whether pornography is playing any role. When the police do this investigation, do they ask such questions? And if not, I'm going to request that they start asking questions. Whether when that happened, was pornography involved in this? And if yes, how many of such rapes or rapists were influenced by pornography? And maybe the last one for now. Causative factors of murders. Now we heard that the majority of murders happened because of arguments and misunderstandings. Now on this one, I would want to know whether are there any signs that levels of intolerance are increasing in the country? This is something that also must be looked at. Are people becoming more intolerant and impatient? We know that obviously road rage happens many times when people are impatient. And obviously there's something that one day I will raise with the Minister of Transport about slow drivers sticking to the fast lane all the time. And you see somebody behind trying to pass and then you see two cars driving parallel. And the one behind obviously is provoked by things like that. But I would want to know specifically whether there is an element of intolerance that seems to be increasing in the country that are causing these arguments and misunderstandings to end up with murders. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Meshu. Honorable members, could you please switch on your videos when you speak? The next is Honorable De Blanche.
Chairperson, good morning and thank you. Chairperson, the honorable members that spoke before me covered quite a bit of ground. But I also want to start with the crime statistics and, you know, how can we really trust that as a true reflection of the situation on the ground? Chairperson, we know. And we don't know exactly to what extent, but people quite often go to police stations and they are shown away. People go to police stations to report a crime, and then the people there are in no position to help them. So they are shown away, and quite a bit of people are not going to police stations anymore. This is really a very, very bleak picture that we heard today. Chairperson, you know, if I listen to the minister and to a certain extent, and I do agree with him to a certain extent, he said that quite a lot of these crimes like rape and assault and whatever is happening, you know, at people's residences, and the police obviously, according to him, don't have, you know, much control over that. Chairperson, I don't want to focus on the things that the police are doing wrong today. I want to focus on the things that they can change, and they don't do that. The Honorable Whitfield already mentioned the issue about the DNA. This is something that they can do something about. And we are still battling with backlogs, DNA, and we're just going to get to the point where that is settled. And with that will assist to solve crimes. Chairperson, the very, very bad performance of the detective service, the detection rate, that is something that the police can solve. They need to train their people. They need to equip their people. And they need to ensure that the investigation will be done properly. Then obviously that will be a deterrent for criminals. That is not happening. Chairperson, then again, you know, we are still battling with a firearm register. That is something that the police can also do something about. and they don't manage to be able to get that under control. The crimes in all areas increased. And Chairperson, what we have heard here is apparently, well, the police can do nothing about it. But what is concerning, and now I must be very careful because I'm being blamed that I'm making sweeping statements. But here's another one. Chairperson, you know, the police itself has become a crime syndicate. People are buying themselves, you know, to be appointed as police officials. That is what we are hearing, is that they need to pay bribes to be able to be let into the police. Then we have learned, and I'm going to choose my words here correctly again, is that gangs penetrated the police. So how can the police be trusted? I'm not surprised about this performance. Chairperson, we cannot tolerate that people are giving us statistics that is not reliable. The police must remember that they, you know, there is the term proactive policing, and the police are supposed to be the active partner, leading the community. It's about community policing, but the active partner has a very, very special role to play, and we don't see that. Chairperson, kidnappings was mentioned, truck hijackings, and so we can go on. The murders of children, women, etc. My question is, Chairperson, when are the police going to start dealing with the things that they can change? The police need to change their policing style. I've mentioned that many a time. The policing style that is currently employed by the police is outdated. They need to move to modern policing. And apparently they don't know what it's about. Chairperson, really, I am very concerned, and we cannot accept this dismal performance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Tablange. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I think I'm going to sound like a stuck record, Chairperson. Let us, I think, for once at least admit that we've lost the war on crime in South Africa. The performance of the last 3 months tells us very clearly, Chairperson, that no matter what we are going to do, unless we bring a holistic approach to dealing with the large or high levels of crime in South Africa, we are doomed. It's time that we make a concerted effort to take back our country. Really, I can tell you what our people go through on this is psychologically draining on our people, Chairperson. Now, I must agree that I think it is underreported, but more importantly, many people are not reporting. That's how little faith they now have in the police officer. You know, I've asked this before, Chairperson, and I want to ask again. And the problem we have with government as a whole, they all work in silos. Nobody is willing to work together. There are many departments, in my understanding, that should come together, pull some of the budget together to deal with the root causes of crime in South Africa, but they're not willing to do that. And until you do that, you are going to continue getting a rise until such time you will not be able to live a normal life in this abnormal society that we're talking about. I'm not surprised with the statistics that we've just been given, Chairperson. Now, when I say this, what I mean is, what is the root causes of this high levels of crime in South Africa? Why does it exist? Where is it coming from? How are we going to clamp down on it from grassroots level? And that is why I ask again the question, when will South African police services, together with basic education, together with all the other role players, start introducing some programs starting at school level at grassroots to identify problem children or children coming from dysfunctional families so that we could deploy social workers to these homes, pick up these problem areas, deal with it then and there, rather than allowing these children to become criminals at a later stage in their life. No child, no criminal or murderer or rapist are born murderers and rapists. We need to ask ourselves, what is giving rise to the situation? High levels of unemployment, poor living conditions, availability of drugs and alcohol, teenage pregnancy, 91,000 children giving birth to children. These are some of the root causes, Chairperson. But we're not addressing the root cause. I said again, and I want to say, go and put another 200,000 police officers on the ground. It's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to solve the problem. Let's get to the root cause of it. When have we ever seen police officers stopping and searching people on the streets? So many crimes are just being committed just by people carrying weapons, knives and things. I'm on the street so often that I never ever see police. Let's stop and search. Nothing is going on. You know, I was having dinner with somebody the other day. And do you know what he said to me, Chairperson? Do you know at this point, police station, I can get anything done. I can get anybody released at any time. That is how high the levels of crime is and corruption is in some of our police stations as well. I mean, there are police that are working together with syndicates. Now, when you ask yourself, when we talk about police linked to gangs, there could be different reasons for it. Is it because of fear? We all are saying it's corruption, corruption. Is it not fear? Is it because they don't get adequate protection from police, from themselves, that they now collude with, because of the fear of their lives, that they are colluding with criminals and gangsters and things? We need to get to the bottom of it and find out, what is it? Are you not getting paid enough? Are you, your life is in danger? Are you threatened because others are corrupt? Tell us what it is. Maybe these are some of the things we need to find out. So even police officers are not born corrupt. Some of them become corrupt. And why do they become corrupt? And there could be various reasons for it. I don't know what effect cannabis is having now that, you know, you are allowed to smoke it and grow it and things. But I want the police to take cognizance of the fact that the Thailand, which has now allowed it, has got a massive problem as far as crime is concerned as a result of cannabis. So that's something that is coming. And I think you need to look at that as well. Look at the scant respect and or regard that people have today for our law enforcement. Just look at it. They attack the police station. They attack our police officers willy-nilly as they want to. And very little or nothing happens. Look at the criminal justice system. Police are arresting the people in 2 hours. They're out already. It's not helping the cause. That is why I talk about a holistic approach to these things. So I want to tell you, Chairperson, you know, there's no point in me going into a whole lot of these things. We were expecting this. We can expect worse than this in the months to come and the years to come, unless we go and deal with the problem of crime from this grassroots level. So we can blame the police, and I'm not defending the police, you know, but what I'm saying is, can we find a take collective responsibility to deal with these problems? We sometimes argue that the Western Cape is better governed and better run, but the statistics in terms of crime says something else. So what is it that we're not doing, or we're doing wrong there too? We need to be able to sit down, all of us, put our differences aside and find solutions. I want to ask the minister particularly to tell me, how many detectives have you got available in these hotspot police stations? Do you have enough capacity to deal with the number of crimes? I've heard some of the detectives sit with 200 dockets at a time. Can you do justice with 10 dockets? How are you going to do justice with 200 dockets? Visibility, yes, there is no visibility. And what you need is to bring back that reservist system. You know, we want to just roll out grants and grants and grants. Let people be more productive. Why not give them a stipend now and bring out, roll out some of these people for the purposes of visibility? Where is the cooperation and coordination with even the security industry? It's not there. Do you ever find metro polices or law enforcement in some of the metros that they got willing to work with South African police services? No. When last have we heard, Chairperson, of raids? There should be a raid day in and day out in different areas to eradicate criminals once and for all. Is it happening? No. We find one or two that takes place, and then we don't find anything taking place for another 6 months. There is some successes, particularly with the Hawks, and I must commend them. They've made some real breakthroughs, but they can't be the only one that's doing the work. So I think, you know, we need to come together. And the only way we're going to achieve this is by getting all these relevant authorities together to be able to put a comprehensive plan, get more people on the ground instead of giving them those grants, like I have said, give them stipends, bring them in so that we can expand on this program of trying to root out crime once and for all. Otherwise, you're not going to. When I talk about on the schools and things, then you can see what a great percentage, Chairperson, of these crimes are happening in homes known to the perpetrators, in their own homes. But if you identify those dysfunctional families at an early stage, you'll prevent those things. You'll prevent those children from becoming crimes if you pick it up tiniestly. We're not doing these things, Chairperson. I'm going to stop there for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Imam. Before I bring in Shembeni, Honorable, did you have your hand up, Honorable Siabi, because I no longer see your hand? Your hand was up before, Shembeni.
It was up before, but I'm covered, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Siabi. Honorable Shembeni. And then Honorable Majozi, that will be the last, and then we'll ask for responses.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the Honorable Minister, the National Commissioner, and all protocol observed. Chair, I'm nearly covered by some of the speakers or the Honorable members, but I wanted to start with the so-called now crimes and sentences in SADC, because now to me it seems as if South Africa is the playground of criminals, and this thing that is happening here in South Africa is not happening in Swaziland, it's not happening in Mozambique, it's not happening in Lesotho. Now everybody is coming here, is doing whatever he or she pleases and goes back to his country and leave just like that. Now, that is where everything starts. We must have, I think, a holistic approach must be taken whereby sentencing, if murder in Mozambique, if the sentence is light, then in South Africa, it must be the same. And then that goes to our constitution, because it seems as if our constitution accommodates every Tom, Dick, and Harry from any country to come here and play as if we are Mickey Mouse's here. There is no respect of police officers in South Africa. And this is not happening in our neighboring countries. You can't see that. Even in Swaziland, here, just nearby, police officers are being respected. More members in the so-called now offices than on the streets. We've got a lot of members in offices in the SAPS of today who are dealing with computers and everything. Rather than to have members on the streets, we are having members in offices. That must be dealt away with. That is number three. Now, what is being done to motivate the detectives? Nothing. As Honorable Sheikh Imam was saying, you can't find a police officer or a detective with 200 dockets. No, it can't be. At least 50. When it's 200, that person does not know the so-called now the suspect or even the complainant. How do you give back to the complainant? Because you have got more than you have to. Now, is there anything that is done to motivate them, like overtime, standbys, and promotions? No, nothing. Useless police officers sitting in the offices are being promoted for nothing. That's why we have cried that we can't have so many generals in the South African police. Why is that? How much is being spent to these people, those generals and brigadiers that we are having? How much are we spending on them rather than to spend the money in recruiting the young ones that will hit the boots on the ground and be all over those streets? Now, the crime statistics are said to be manipulated. Yes, it's true. We've seen this, or we've heard that now when Mpumalanga was regarded as number one province, officers also from Mpumalanga mentioned that no, it can't be. those statistics are being manipulated. We don't know, because that came out of hatred of the provincial commissioner or what. But that was said by officers working in the very same province. What is the meaning of that? It means they know something. And if they know it, what is it? Now, fourthly, the justice system. Did SAPS engage justice system in terms of looking at the sentencing? You see, we cannot have people now carrying firearms like sweets or bread in South Africa. Nothing is happening. We can't. We can't have that. So, Chairperson, I think now the South African Police Service must meet with other sister departments in order to deal with the sentencing of the possession of unlicensed firearms. You can't say 3 months. Because now in all those crimes that we are talking about, we've seen in the stats that firearms is there. It's the most modus operandi or whatever exhibits that are being used, firearms. So we can't have firearms looming our streets just like that without something being done. And the backlog also in the CFR is also the main cause of these things. So we can't be having such things. The liquor issue also, liquor board. And then when you ask the police about the closing of the taverns and all this, they will tell you that no, this is not our mandate. This is the liquor board's mandate and all these things. But yes, and also these DPOs, they are telling the owners that the police are not going to do anything, even if they find that you have not closed your tavern in a prescribed time. Don't worry, nothing is going to happen. Because they are taking bribes, chochos, from the tavern owners. This is the main cause of this crime. Because you find children in those taverns. Firearms are in those taverns. Late closing of those taverns are causing those rapes. But nothing is happening. Nothing's being done. And because now these people are being told that police are not going to do anything. This is the duty of the liquor board. What is liquor board doing with this thing? Now, what I'm trying to say, Honorable Minister, is that we must look at this thing. If we can say the opening and the closing of the taverns, it can be the responsibility of the police when they go around doing their patrols. If they find out that you have not closed your tavern during a specific time, they must close it down forever. Because you can't close it, you as the owner. The police must close it down forever. That is going to help us. But now we must have some certain legislations that are going to help us to deal with that one. I don't know how long is it going to take. Because now the J534, it's nothing. Nothing is happening with that one. They tell them not even to pay it. And the last time I've seen police officers being delegated to deal with J534s, it's the late in the 90s, I think in 1995-1996. So in the issue of
Honorable Shembeni, that must be your last input now, and then I'll take on
the last one, Chairperson.
Thank you.
In the issue of the murders, that more than 5 people have been murdered, we have seen this happening. Do we have arrests in those cases? How far are they in the investigations in those cases? We can't be having 7 people being killed in a house during the mourning of their loved ones and nothing has happened, because there must be a clue or some sort of knowing who are the causes of these things, the suspects. How far is the investigations in those cases? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Majosi is the last one.
Chairperson?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Can I please have my video off, because I have a problem of network. We've got load shedding.
Yes.
Mine would be a very short, Chair. Firstly, in terms of the visibility of SAPS, we do see, as a member of parliament in my area, I do see the visibility of the SAPS. The problem is one, what is the purpose of the visibility? Because when they make roadblocks and so forth, the purpose is not to catch criminals, to detain those who are supposed to be detained. But the main purpose is to take bribes and let criminals have a leeway when it comes to. So we, in our own system, as I had said before, that we need to deal with our own system. It's not going to work that every time maybe we have problems, and then we want to then say it's not a matter of visibility. We do see police officers every day. We do have roadblocks every day. But our problem is that what is the purpose of those roadblocks? Because if they would tell us that in roadblocks that they do every day, how many criminals do they catch? How many criminals do they detain all the time? You'll find that it's a very, very low number. But we do have these visibilities. So my problem is that we've got roadblocks, but the purpose of these roadblocks is to take bribes. And the biggest problem that we have in our police system is the police stations themselves, the status of the police stations, the tribalism that is there in the police stations. I've experienced so many cases where because this one speaks this type of language, then they are able to get away with anything. And then this one, because does not speak the same language as this one, then that person will be detained, not even finding out what really happened. Now, what lacks most in our police station is the detectives. The detectives we have now are just a scare, because they don't do due diligence on their respected description of work that they should be doing. So that is what we are faced with in the status of our police stations. And the bribe of cases, we will never win this war up until we clean up the system itself, because you'll find that there was an illegal firearm in that case. But now, because there's this officer that can be bought, and then that docket will disappear or something will happen, and then they are able to talk about it because money has been taken out. But for as long as we have that chairperson, we are not going to be able to win this war of crime. We are not going to win the war of putting behind people who are supposed to be in jail. So it is a mess. You go to Moroka police station, it's the same. You go to Foslora station, it is the same. So there's no difference in all these stations in different districts. It's the same. It's as if they came from the same school of thought and of saying that how should they do bribes and how should they treat cases in terms of tribalism. So once we are able to deal with that in our own system, we'll be able to conquer the war of crime. But for now, for as long as we have police officers who think that they must take bribes from people, who are not going to survive this. And it has happened in the Moroka police station. It has happened also at Foslora. It's cases that I have that have been dealt with, and wrongly so. Number three, Chair, the recruitment program of police officers. I would really, really want to understand how does the recruitment of police officers and the process itself works, because the process there, something that is happening in that process that is it's not correct, because the people that they are bringing in, they don't have the
the passion of being police officers. They it's as if they are just there to have their salaries. They are just there for employment's sake. So once, how do they get in? In that process, I think there's something wrong that happens in that process, because it can be that the police officers that they've been employing how many police officers a year, and you don't see any change. So what is it that they are coming with in this training? What happens, or are they brought in by people that they know who are inside, and then automatically think that everything will work according to their favor? So I think the process also of recruiting the police officers, we must look closely to it, Chairperson. There is something that happens there that is not correct. I would want to understand, Chairperson. I saw that, I know that they're in one umbrella, but they report in Joburg maybe, and maybe there are other decisions that the JMPD would do. Maybe I don't know if they would know, as the SAPS and also the minister. There are golf t-shirts of JMPDs that they wear recently in Johannesburg. These golf t-shirts, they are navy, but you can see would any criminal can go and print that golf t-shirt. And so what is the significance of that t-shirt of JMPDs, so that you don't get stopped by anyone wearing that golf t-shirt of JMPD, and only to find that it's criminals who are going to hijack you, because we are going to face those cases, because I've seen these JMPDs with these golf t-shirts roaming around in Johannesburg. But I'm not sure how do we identify that this is a JMPD, and maybe this would be a golf t-shirt that would be worn by a criminal, because it's their uniform. So it becomes a predicament. It's also a problem that maybe people will face in terms of being hijacked and criminal activities being done in many houses and so forth with those t-shirts. So I would like to know the golfer t-shirts that they have. What is the resemblance that we can then say that this is the significance of the golfer t-shirts? And also to ask Chairperson, we heard that JMPD cars were repossessed by Avis. Is it true? Will it have an impact in the police department? Because which means now they must do a double job. If there are no cars of JMPD that would be on the streets, which means SAPS will be needed in accidents, in everything that will be happening. It will be the SAPS in Johannesburg that will be doing that. So I just need those two clarities, but also to emphasize that it is our system. Once we can get hold of our system, everything will work out fine, because we've got police officers who believe that taking a bribe is a good thing. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable members, I've given you all the leeway to ask all your questions, make all your comments, and you do realize that we have used quite a bit of time to do that, but I allowed you to do this so that you could express yourselves. We have had instances where we had a follow-up meeting to discuss the crime stats, you know that. And it's very clear that we may have to do so again. We have 10 minutes before we release the minister and his team. We then still need to do the approval of the minutes. I allowed us to do that last. Honorable Majozi, kindly please also remember that JMPD doesn't fall under the minister, but under the province. We are going to give the minister an opportunity to speak and then call them in to respond. Obviously, they're not going to be able to respond today, but they are not going to be allowed to respond in writing. They'll come back to the committee to respond. This coming Friday would be the approval of the joint oversight visit reports. So we'll be calling them again to the committee to respond. It won't be this Friday. These responses in writing only go to individual members, and I think that these responses are required for the entire committee. Honourable Minister, you can allow the National Commissioner to speak first, or you could speak. Honourable Minister, you're not expected to respond to all the questions.
Chairperson, good morning again together with the members. Chairperson, can we marry with your last statement to say let's come back for further discussions and be able to interact with members? Because from our side, as members put things, I believe that there is a lot of clarification that should be made on some matters. But Chair, I think there are one or two points. I cannot take the sweeping statement made by Honorable Majosi to say that police go for roadblocks for bribe. That's insulting to the police. That is insulting to good members of the South African Police Service that are doing the job, that are arresting criminals to make them 33. That prisons, Chairperson, are 33.3% overpopulated with more than 7,000 people doing life. Those are the honest members of the South African police who are killed because they're doing their work, who are shot and killed by criminals who do not sleep, Chairperson, who they cross the townships in the middle of the night. I've been with them. Every Friday, Saturday, they don't know their families. Every weekend, it's an insult. I don't know where that statement comes from. Indeed, individual members of the police would be bad. They are bad apples, and we'll deal with them. They are arrested, as it has happened in Umkhomazi, that two members have just been arrested for killing the councillor and killing other people. But Chair, I want to expand on that one. This thing of police corrupt and police penetrated by criminals, and that based on the judgment of Western Cape, is wrong. I hope the members here, they go and read paragraph 70 of that judgment by Turan. I know that at least one member has read that on a white feet. I know he has. But all members must go and listen what the judge is saying. Judge does not talk about the police only that are corrupt there. He talks about the corrupt police that are colluding with gangs there. He talks about judiciary. Turan never left judiciary. He talks about courts. He talks about prosecution that have been all of them penetrated by gangsterism. So I would request members to be bad and hard on police where they are, and to be kind where the police are doing the work, and not just to blast the police as if it's only the police that are in there. I'm not able to respond to many others, but I'm not going to leave this one hanging. It's insulting, it's insensitive. Police are bad, few of them, and many members of the South African police are doing work, honestly, protecting and serving indeed. That's why there are people that are many of them, thousands and thousands, almost more than 144,000 of people are in prison because they are sent by this police. I will take exception on the sweeping statement to say police go. Otherwise, we don't have to have these roadblocks. And these roadblocks are working, especially in some few provinces, Gauteng, every weekend in South Africa. And please, while we are hard, while we're doing our work, and we should not really put the police in the level where they're not. Chairperson, we'll come back on this one. Others of these things, we would agree with members, others we don't. For instance, on the question of DNA, I beg to differ with the members, as they put it. I don't have a problem discussing and debating that and all other things. Question of Falam, things have been implemented, Chairperson. There are matters there. The question of states and its trust with, I differ with members. One is there to listen, take the evidence from members, correct where we're supposed to correct, but also the members be given the methodologies and the mastermind members on this one. We are working with the statisticians, South Africa, that we have subjected ourselves to work with them so that while there is this not trusting and all that, but we have a leg to stand because the situation in South Africa, the SG himself that we work with. There are issues raised by the AG. We are listening to those issues. We'll respond to. Chairperson, it's unfortunate that we did not have enough time to respond, but we'll definitely make ourselves to sit down and debate and discuss these matters. Concede where we are, but also ask the members to listen and get proper facts on some of the issues. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Indeed, we do require a debate on the crime stats. This is for the presentation. We will have scheduled a debate, not a debate in Parliament, but an engagement in the Committee on the Crime Stats. Honorable Minister, I'm not going to let the National Commissioner speak after you. I'm going to allow you and your team to leave, and then the committee will continue with its business of the day. That is to approve the minutes of last week. Honorable Minister, good luck with the release of the crime stats to the public. Thank you very much for addressing the committee at such an early hour. We appreciate it. And please indicate our appreciation to all the men and women in blue for the work that they do. Yes, they do have difficulties. The committee understands their difficulties. We support them. And there where we see weaknesses and gaps, we will certainly mention them. But that doesn't take away the respect and support we express towards the men and women in blue. Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Minister, you are released.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Good luck, Minister. Good luck, DM. Good luck.
Thank you.
Honorable members, could I accept that the agenda, I didn't do the adoption of the agenda. Could I accept that the agenda was adopted so that I can continue with the minutes? Could I have a proposal? I didn't do this because of time.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone on the platform. I would like to propose for the adoption, Chair.
Thank you very much. Could I now have the present seconder? Could I have a seconder, please?
A second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siabi, the whip. We are now going to consider the minutes of two meetings we've had. Honorable Meshu, you have your hand up. You have indicated that you're going to leave.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm going to attend PC on international relations.
Thank you very much for your participation. You are allowed to leave. We now have the minutes of the 16th of November. Honorable members, do I have a proposal for adoption of the minutes? I'm waiting for a proposal for the adoption of the minutes. Honorable
Linda, I propose to adopt it, please.
Thank you, Honorable Moss. Do I have a second? Honorable Shimbeni, thank you, Honorable Shimbeni. Could I have the next set of minutes, please? You can scroll, thanks. Thank you, honorable members. Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable members?
Good morning, Chair. Peacock proposed for the adoption.
Thank you, Honorable Peacock. Do I have a seconder?
Linda Moss, seconded, please.
Thank you, Honorable Moss. Could I get an indication from Nicolette and Babawa if there's any other further matters we need to attend to? Nicolette?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. From my part, Chair, I think we all addressed all the issues. Babawa?
Babawa?
Okay, I'm covered by Nicolette. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicolette and Babawa. Thank you very much, honorable members, honorable Whoop. Honorable members, on Friday, we have to approve the reports of the joint oversight visits. I'm sorry that we couldn't do it today, but it's not our meeting. It's the meeting of the Committee on Minerals and Energy, but those of us who have attended the oversight visits have to be part of that meeting to approve the joint reports. Honorable Whoop, do you have any additions?
No, I'm fine, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. That brings us to the end of the business of today. The meeting is now over and adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.